I'll be continuing on in my message series on the fruitful life. And last week we looked at peace. And we really looked at peace with God and the peace of God. And peace is something that we could never really understand if it were not for the Lord and His work. Peace is true peace. Is something that we get from Him, and we can share it with others. We can have peace because of God, even in this harsh, broken world, even when trouble surrounds us. We can have peace because of the Lord. So let's look at what's next for today. We'll be looking at a verse that we're going through. We're looking at Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Today we are looking at patience. I seriously considered asking someone to preach today and preach on the fruit of patience. Why? I would say that when we go through this series, we're going to find that all of us have work in different areas. We all have fruit in different stages of ripeness or unripeness. For whatever reason, this is probably one of my greenest or less ripe fruits. Not completely unripe. But I do struggle with patience. Now, many of you might not see that. Praise the Lord. Many of you might believe that I am a patient person, which is good. But I think I'm often most impatient with those that I know really well or that I'm closest to. Seems kind of strange. So, who am I the least patient with? My own family. Kind of seems backwards. The ones I love the most are the ones I show the least patience with. Seems kind of backwards. Doesn't really make sense to me. But there you have it. My family will see my impatience probably frequently. So here's some examples. Fast food. Why do some places claim to be a fast food restaurant when they're anything but fast? I don't understand. Driving through the cities, there are four or five lanes going one direction, four or five lanes that way, four or five lanes going the other way. Why is it that when I drive on them, we're bumper to bumper, all the lanes are full, and we're going 15 miles an hour? Why is it when I go to check out at a store, I seem to always pick the slowest checkout? Why is it when I need to talk to someone or talk to a business or customer support or something on the phone, I end up on hold listening to terrible elevator music for 30 to 60 minutes before being routed to someone at a call center outside the United States, and then be rerouted to another call center after they realize that they can't help me, and then I'm on hold again for another who knows how long? Why is it when I want to go and fill up the gas tank, I try to save time by paying at the pump? And what am I asked? A whole bunch of questions. Before I can even fill up my tank, do you have a rewards card? Do you want a car wash? Do you want a receipt? What kind of gas do you want? And then all the gas tanks or gas pumps are different. You lift the letter, push a button, and sometimes you're sitting there trying to figure out how to get it to go. I just want some gas. And fast. Sometimes I think, Lord, help me. I'm not well. I asked one of my kids a couple weeks ago a question that I expected an answer. Am I a patient person? I was expecting the answer, no. But the kind answer I got was, I don't know. So I decided just to pick a name out of the thin air, someone they knew. And I asked my child, well, is Lena Keepers a patient person? The answer was an immediate yes. So I'm an I don't know. Lena is yes. So thank you, Lena. But that answer was clear for me that I'm definitely not a yes. I thought I would ask another question, and it's one I've asked a few people over the last couple of weeks because I'm trying to prepare for this message. I asked, who is the most patient person you've known? Who's the most patient person you've known? Do you know that I've gotten the same answer from just about everyone I asked that? Here's the answer I got. Either I don't know or I'm not sure. I will have to think about that one. I want you to think about it. Some of you might have an answer right from the start. That's great. That means you know someone that are an example of patience. Where others, we have to think about it a while. Though we know people who have shown patience in certain circumstances, I think we can all say we know people that have shown great patience during certain times. We also cannot exactly say that that person exemplifies patience consistently in life. This concerns me. While many of us have work to do in patience, why are so many struggling to think of people in their lives that exemplify a fruit of patience consistently in life? There might be a number of reasons. There could be lots of reasons. I don't know that it was a surprise, but we might desire control over circumstances and grow impatient when we don't have that control that we would like. We also live in a culture that is rush and hurry. Many people are time-oriented. We got to get this done, this done, this done, this done. We have 3 days worth of work. We got to get done in 1 day. We got to go. I think for others, they grew up in homes where patience was something that was in short supply. And that's not an example that they were ever shown. And there are many excuses again. I'm talking to myself here. Excuses are often ways that we justify ourselves to not work on the important things of the Lord. Satan likes to use excuses to keep us from moving and growing closer to the Lord. Remember that love was the very first fruit in this list. It was the first fruit that we covered, and we saw that it was vitally important. And a way that we can show love is found in the fruit of patience. I want to change this area. I know that impatience often leads me to anger. Impatience and anger are very closely related for me. And this isn't a righteous anger, it's a hurtful and destructive anger. So when we're looking at fruit, what is impatience like? Impatience is like a fungus. It's growing on that fruit of patience that we're growing with the help of the Holy Spirit. But that fungus makes the fruit wither or foul tasting, and it looks bad. Well, let's get into our passage today. Let's get into what the Apostle Paul is really writing. Paul wrote in this list, he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit, and he's saying that the Holy Spirit is the one who's guiding, who's directing, he's convicting, he's strengthening us to grow this visible fruit for others to see and enjoy. The fruit of patience is very much a visible fruit that others will see. We will also see when patience is not there. We'll see that visible too. I think I'll begin with looking at what patience means in Greek. It actually carries a lot more depth and meaning than what we get from this word patience in English. The word Paul uses here literally means to be long-tempered. A number of you might be using the King James Version or an older English language version, and you'll see instead of patience another word or couple words, long-suffering. It's dealing with more of endurance and just carrying on. You may have another translation. I'm thinking it was the newer NIV that uses forbearance. Well, that's another big word. I'm trying to figure out why the NIV would use such a big word. But what does forbearance mean? It's dealing with forgiving and tolerance. Both long-suffering and forbearance are needed to get the full flavor of what Paul is talking about here, with patience as a fruit. I'm going to give you some more descriptions of what this fruit looks like. It's the ability to endure for a long time whatever opposition and suffering may come our way, and to show perseverance without wanting retaliation or revenge. It is the ability to put up with the weaknesses and quirks of others, including other believers, and to show forgiveness and tolerance toward them without getting quickly irritated or angry. So patience, that's a big word to really live out. It demands strength and stamina, and it depends on being able to exercise control over our reactions to others. I'd say none of that is easy. It doesn't come naturally to us, which is why we need the Spirit of God to make it grow in our lives. This is kind of heavy when it comes to really thinking about what patience is. It is both patience as we know it, but also forgiveness and tolerance and self-control. And we'll see self-control being another fruit that we're going to look at in the near future. Though I've shared many insights into patience, let's look at some other scripture to get a little more insight. I'm going to look at Psalm 103:8. Psalm 103, starting with verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. This picture of God that we are given in this psalm is total patience. He's slow to anger. It's something to understand. Anger is not wrong when it is righteous anger. Did God get angry? Yeah, God got angry. The Israelites were constantly sinning and complaining, but God remained patient. There were times that God got to a point where he had enough of rebelliousness and sinfulness. Yet God has a right to be angry, because his anger is never wrong. He is righteous and holy, and he's separated from sin completely. And if he, though he sits as the righteous judge, is slow to anger, then I too should be slow to anger myself. When God does get angry, He doesn't harbor it forever. Meaning God's patience moves from anger to forgiveness and also grace and mercy. I'll remind, grace is giving us the good things that we don't deserve, and mercy is withholding the punishment that we rightly deserve. God loves and treats us with love in spite of the fact that we don't deserve it. Patience can be a bit troubling for us because it is almost always dependent on our interactions with others. This is one of those fruits that we're really going to see it most in our interactions with others, and especially in times of friction or tension. It's best seen when there's tension. We wouldn't need long suffering or forbearance if everything was going perfectly. There's often tensions in relationships for a variety of reasons. But throughout the Old Testament, we do see some strong actions taken by God. If we look back in the Old Testament, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. He destroyed them. What about the flood at the time of Noah? That was a strong action. How about the killing or the removing of the people from the land that the Israelites were given as their promised land? Those are strong actions. It might be easy to point out a couple places and simply think that God was an angry God in the Old Testament. But that's not the case. We see throughout the whole entire Old Testament that He was slow to anger. He was patient. And we see that because of His patience, even well-deserved punishment was withheld at the prospect of repentance. So I want to talk about Jonah for a little bit. The prophet Jonah, he ran from God because he didn't want to go and minister in Nineveh. So Jonah ran away. He got onto a ship. Was going in the opposite direction. I think most of you know the story. God sent a storm, and Jonah ends up getting thrown overboard. And God sends a big fish or a whale, and Jonah gets some God time in the belly of a big fish. He got a time out. Jonah and finally relents and says, I'll go to Nineveh. And so he does, and he told the Ninevites that God was going to destroy their city. He brings the message that God had them bring. And the people of Nineveh, they repented. The people repented, and God relented. Let's read Jonah 3:10, starting in 3:10 through 4:2. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened. Here's what we see out of Jonah. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that You are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. I don't think Jonah was a very patient man. And he didn't like the Ninevites. Now, they were a wicked people, and they did horrible things to the Israelites. If anyone deserved destruction, the Ninevites were right there. But God was patient, and He saw a change in the people of Nineveh. Now, it might not have lasted long, and God may have brought destruction later on. But what we see here is God showing his patience, even to a people who are not the Israelites. The same is in much of the Old Testament. So many people, Israelites included, deserved punishment, but God was patient. He is that way with us. How many times, even after confessing Jesus as our Savior, have we fallen short? How many times have we asked for forgiveness because of our struggles with sin? Yet in God's patience and love, He keeps forgiving us. And He promises to. He shows us patience every single day. And maybe even for some of us, every hour of every day. I'd like to read from 1 Peter 2:20. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. At the time of Christ's crucifixion, that would have been the hardest test of patience for anyone, I think. It wasn't so much of a test for Jesus, but an example for us that we may be tested in. They hurled insults at Jesus. He didn't retaliate, verse 23. When he suffered, he made no threats. He took no action. He could have called down legions of angels to his aid. But he didn't. Instead, he entrusted himself to his Father in heaven. He took our punishment. That wasn't fair for him, but because of his love, he took it anyway. See, God has shown patience to so many people for so long, and all of it stems from God's great love. People of all kinds, personalities of all kinds, differences of all kinds. He's patient because he wants us to receive him and to receive his gift of life through Jesus. Is that not something we should be doing too, being patient to those we encounter, so that we might be a witness for Christ? I think we are often prone to be impatient when things don't go the way we want them to, or when we lose control of a situation, or when differences bring us to a standstill, or simply we are in too much of a rush that we fail to look at people as our Savior looks at us. Sometimes we need to look at others and say, how is Jesus looking at them? What do I need to adjust to look at them the same? James 1:18-20. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. We do need to pay attention to those around us. I've got a long quote that I wanted to share with you by an author, Christopher Wright. Patience also means forbearance with others. It means putting up with the things other people do or don't do when you wish they would. It means that you make the effort to bear with other people, even when they irritate and annoy you, or worse. Forbearance is when you choose to forgive people rather than hold a grudge against them. Forbearance is when you choose to overlook something that was hurtful or unkind rather than fighting back with harsh words or making sure you get even with the one who did you wrong. Forbearance is when you learn to be patient with others, mainly because you are very well aware of your own shortcomings and weaknesses. It means you remember that other people are probably having to be forbearing with you. That kind of patience is sadly needed more than ever in Christian churches. And even among Christian leaders. In the world of instant blogging and commenting on comments and commenting on the comments on comments, patience seems to be a very neglected virtue. Some people simply can't wait to put their word in, to get their point across, to speak their mind, however harmful and hurtful it may be. We have become very impatient in attitudes, in communication, and in our expectations. Wow. People are what they are. They're all different. We have different personalities. We have different preferences. We have different likes and dislikes. We have different visions and ambitions. And just because we are Christians, it doesn't make those things all blend together in nice warm fudge. Some people are very easily upset. Some seem to have been born upset. Jesus had a hard time with his 12 disciples. Larger groups of his followers can be a tough challenge. There's a lot when you start thinking about patience. Being patient with others. I'd like to read 1 Thessalonians 5:13, second half of verse 13 through 15. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Another verse to share. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:1. As I have told you, I have work to do in this area of patience. And I would say that many others do too. The fruit of patience is a visible fruit, and we need to be showing that fruit. And when we know it's a tough road because this fruit has been dying for a long time. This fruit has been dying in our nation for a long time. We might have opportunities to make a difference in people's lives even when we're not aware of it. Here's a couple examples. You're at a restaurant and a waitress gets your order wrong and seems to not come around very often. We show patience and gratitude because you never know. She may have just received a tough medical diagnosis and struggles to pay the medical bills. And to make matters worse, help is short-handed and she's working on her 13th hour of serving. How about the checkout cashier that seems to move at a snail's pace? Might be someone who's struggling to find meaning in life and is looking for an excuse to end their life. How about the customer service person on the phone who doesn't realize you've been transferred several times and didn't know that you've been on hold for a cumulative time of over an hour, is simply trying to put food on their table as a single parent and actually really does care for people, but is often treated poorly over the phone. How How about my son who had a really tough day at school? He's finally home, tired, and just needs a hug and some quiet time. And yet I yell at him for putting his shoes in the middle of the walkway and treat him harshly when all he really needs is loving encouragement and a hug. We can always make a difference in people's lives. We can make a difference for the negative, or we can make a difference for the positive by the way we treat others. Will I be remembered for being impatient, angry, and harsh? Or will I be remembered for calm, forgiving, gracious love? How will you be remembered? I would say that we all have opportunities to exercise patience every day. Let us wake up each morning asking the Lord, show us the road of patience, and in the trying time, help us to be slow in our anger